May the Lord bless the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Here as we bring to close the time of Advent in preparation for Christmas and Christmastide and the seasons that come after that, and as we give way to the joy and the hope that this season brings, the epistle reminds us of two of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy and peace. We are told in the opening of the epistle this morning, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. A very important thing for us to have is the joy that the Lord gives. And then at the close of the epistle, he blesses and says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep you. Both of those are very important for us to have. Both of those are essential fruits with which we can navigate not only the Christmas time, but also life. Joy and peace. They are two words that are often associated with Christmas. You will see them on cards. You may see them even written in lights side the road. Joy and peace. And sometimes as we look out around the world, as we look out around the situation that we find ourselves in, it may be difficult for us to find peace and even more difficult for us to find joy. But remember, when St. Paul wrote these words, the church was in a much worse shape than it is today. And still in the midst of all that persecution and all the temptation that fought the early church, he was still able to remind and to tell the people that they have to have joy and they have to have peace. So down throughout all the ages, we are reminded that we as Christians meeting today need to remember the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy and which is peace, are two of the fruits of the Spirit, which are joy and peace. Now, in doing some preparation for the sermon this morning, I found out that the Old Testament symbol associated with joy was oil. And oftentimes, as oil was used in the Old Testament for some type of blessing and for some type of ritual, it was used in the context of symbolizing joy. Now, also in doing some research, a fellow made a pretty interesting point in that. While the oil that would be used in the Old Testament is different than what we think of as oil today, when we think of oil today, one of the attributes that it has is to lessen the friction in machines. Think of how often your car would run without any oil. Think of how often anything, any machine would run without any oil. Oil is necessary in order to reduce the friction of two parts rubbing against one another. Now, let's connect those two. The symbol for joy is oil. One of the properties of oil is to reduce the friction of life, if you will. Isn't it essential that we as Christians go through life having the oil of joy in our hearts and on ourselves so that we reduce the friction that life throws at us? Take two Christians, if you would. One of them is experiencing the joy of the Lord and using the joy of the Lord, and the other is not. I can guarantee you that the one who has the joy of the Lord, the one who is expressing that joy, will navigate through life easier than the one who is not. They will be able to take the temptations that life throws at them, and because they are joyful, and because they know where their joy rests, half of the temptation is defeated already. When they meet the necessary grinding and the necessary friction of life, they will not be ground down because of it. They will be able to sail through, if you will, having the joy that the Lord gives. Now the other one, who is not joyful, will look at every situation, will be as pessimistic as possible. And they may navigate through life, but it will be like that old car engine that we run without oil. There will be a lot of screaming, a lot of crying, and at the end it probably just won't work well. Christians are called to be joyful. Not to be simple and not acknowledge the things that go on, but to understand that everything that we have does not come from this earth. It comes from something that is beyond this earth. And so therefore, the joy we have is not bound up in what's going on around us. Sure, we have to live in the world. And we must always remember that we live in the world. But our hearts, our minds, and our homes are elsewhere. So whatever this world throws at us, we know that it cannot get at us at the deepest point, and that is our soul. And so as Advent gives way to Christmas, and we look forward to the Advent when our Lord will return, we know that everything will be made right. And because of that, we are joyful. And we can, as the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. He doesn't say sometimes. He doesn't say when situations are good. He doesn't say when we feel like it. He doesn't even say on Sunday morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get it, and again I say rejoice. Now again, this is not someone who came from a sheltered environment. This came from someone who was shipwrecked, beaten, and in prison under house arrest when he penned these words. Rejoice. Because what we have to understand is just like peace, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not a gift. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not a gift. What's the difference? Well, in order to have a fruit of the Spirit, we must be connected to the vine. And it is a natural growth out of being connected to the vine. A gift of the Spirit is just that. It is a gift that the Lord gives us upon His choice, not upon ours. We can't go to the Lord and say, I want this gift. God gives us gifts as He sees fit for us to have for ministry in this world. He gives all of us gifts. Some gifts are different than others, but He gives us gifts. Just like we would not expect during this time of Christmas to go to somebody and say, I want that gift, that would be rude. Instead, we receive the gift that they give us. That's a gift of the Spirit. But joy is a fruit. The implication is, we all have it. Now, to what degree that we have it depends on how well we are connected to the vine. Just as if you look out over the farming community, some things grow better than others because of the condition of the soil and the connection to the vine. Joy, and then he closes with peace. The peace which passes all understanding. I think the two are tied together. And once we can understand that we can rejoice in everything because our joy comes from the Lord and not from outside circumstances, we can have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. When the world looks at us and tells us there's nothing to be peaceful about, we can have peace. When the world looks at us and says everything is falling apart, we can have peace. Peace that goes beyond these circumstances. That peace, again, is not a gift of the Spirit. It's a fruit. It's a fruit of us being connected to God, knowing that He is with us, knowing that He walks with us. We have an image of that peace in the New Testament. And it's the image of our Lord sleeping when the boat is being rocked by storms and waves. Everyone else is worried. Everyone else is worried. And our Lord sleep. Because He knows. He knows who ultimately controls the storm. And He knows that He is secure. There's a story often told that I will close with of a company that was looking for a picture best to represent peace. And they got submissions of pictures from all over the country. And some of them were very beautiful. Somebody submitted a baby just laying there sleeping in a bassinet. And everybody looked and said, while that is very peaceful, if you've ever had a baby, you know at any moment that could change very, very quick. He could wake up, he could be upset, and suddenly peace is shattered. Somebody else sent a picture of a boat kind of just sitting there on the water, everything peaceful beside. And they looked at that picture and they said, yeah, That's true too, but at any time the waves could buck and that wouldn't be peaceful anymore. The winner of the picture contest, so the story goes, is a boy who sent in a bird sitting in a tree in a torrential downpour singing his heart away. And they said, now that's peace. Everything going on around him, and the bird is doing exactly what God created it to do. Same. That's the peace that we have that passes all understanding. And here we are. Here we are at the close of Advent, ready to go into Easter, when God the Father reached down and gave us the gift. The best gift that has ever been given. This is my Son, in whom I am pleased. And as Advent gives way and we look forward even now into Easter, and we see the sacrifice and the raising of the dead and the sending of the Holy Ghost, we understand that that gift is with us always. And so we can rejoice and we can have peace, not because of who we are, but because of who we belong to during this time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.